Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha.
Yep, got me hopping.
And how about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Amen. 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 Shalom, Sister Rachel.
Shalom.
How you doing today?
I am doing better. I had the flu a couple of days ago. I came down with the flu, but I'm doing much better. I'm doing much better.
All right, amen. Well, we pray your complete recovery.
Amen. I'm blessed.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to wait and see if some other people join tonight. Looks like either people are running late or whatever the case. Either way it goes, we're going to continue because we need to finish this up. I have been on the phone and texting, and people got all kind of questions, and but yeah, it's good. And I'm not on call with Amazon, so that's always a blessing. Because they're on call is like crazy for me. We're going to give people another 2 minutes, and then if nobody else shows up or they show up late, we're just going to, like I said, we're just going to continue in this thing so we can wrap it up. I don't know where people are at this evening, but nevertheless, gotta finish this up. I've been trying to get my video conference server up and running so that we can, you know, actually connect with that if you have computers at home or a tablet and the internet, so that I can share these documents online. And so as I'm reading it, then you're able to see it and go through it with me. Still messing with that, struggling with it. Don't want to play right for some reason. But we're still in the body government. And last we did the authority of the chief priest. This week we're going to talk about the body government and the four kinds of authority that are recognized in the body is what we're going to cover tonight. So it's 5:07. All right. Let me have you, sisters, to cover your heads. And let us turn toward the east and go before the Most High. Let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear of the whole man. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand cup of praise on this afternoon. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Father, you are truly great, and you are the only Elohim, Father, and we will worship you and you alone, Father. We will obey you and you alone. Father, we just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace. We want to thank you for your salvation and your redemption. Hallelujah, because you didn't have to do it. Father, we thank you for just being so gracious and kind to us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you today. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. The Book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, evermore. May the Most High bless him to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
Amen. All in favor say aye.
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 Denise, do you agree? On the phone with somebody else. All right, we have a majority. The ayes have it. We're going to call this meeting to order. On this evening, we are doing... We are dealing with the government and the governance of the body. And on last week, we dealt with the authority of the chief priest and went over, you know, the chief priest's duty, and that we are not to lord it over people, over the Most High's heritage. We're not supposed to be ruling, you know, because of, for power's sake, but we're supposed to be looking out for the souls of those people that the Most High has assigned to us. And so as a member in the body, then you're supposed to also recognize that the shepherd that is put over the flock is there to look out for your souls, and that they have to give a report. When that day comes, when judgment day comes, the shepherd of the flock will have to give a report on every person in the flock. And the scripture says that you want them to be able to give a good report of you. Because if they give a bad one, it doesn't profit you at all. You know, but also that the shepherd should not be after filthy money. You know, not just be doing it for money. But that, you know, he truly cares for the flock. So in this week, we're going to be looking at the governance of the body, the four kinds of authority in the body. Let us go to, well, first let's say this. The absolute authority of HaMashiach over the body. His authority is absolute. HaMashiach alone can be and must be the chief shepherd of the flock of Yah. So anybody, any man that is put into this position, number one, has to be filled with the Ruach, has to be in submission to HaMashiach in everything that he does. And, you know, he understands that his authority is only given by HaMashiach. And the body has to recognize that as well. So the delegated authority of the under-shepherd. HaMashiach chooses to express his authority through men and women who are his gift to the body. Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. The book of Philippians, chapter 1, and when you get there, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Thank amen.
You. Book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Yeshua HaMashiach, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Okay? So he's giving bishops and deacons here as an office. And we're going to read about some other offices. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. And let's get verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. So we've already gone over these verses, some of these verses last week, so I'm not going to just pound them into your head. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Thank you to you all. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Now, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh has made you overseers, to feed the church of Elohim, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, as I said on last week, the shepherd of the church has to understand that the flock is very important to the Most High. And the shepherd has to understand that you just don't treat the possession of the Most High any kind of way. Because he purchased it with his own blood. I died for this. And so any man that would take on this office of shepherd or a priest or an elder, they have to be very mindful of what they're doing, okay? So got to take into account that they have taken on the flock which the Most High has purchased with his own blood when he was in flesh. Let's go to Ephesians. No, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 16. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. And shalom, Sister Maria.
Shalom, family.
All right, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 16. That you submit yourselves unto such to everyone that helps with us and labors. So as the body, and whoever the Most High puts over the body. The body is supposed to be in submission to them. Now, that's why it's very important that whomever get these positions or appointed to them, that, you know, they're following, we know that they're following the Most High, that we know that they have a heart for the Most High and for the people. You know, I'm gonna always say, you know, how I teach them is, you know, you need to have a heart for the Most High, and you need to be able to hear His voice. And be able to do what it is that He says to do. Because the bottom line is, you know, we ourselves can get in the way. And we can get full of ourselves, or we can get beat down, or I've seen way too many brothers looking to be liked by the people. There's nothing wrong with being liked, but if that's what you're after, then you're going to be in trouble. Because every place where you look in the scriptures where the man of the Most High followed the people, he always got in trouble. Because most of the time, people don't want to do, they don't want to follow the Most High to the letter. But we like to wiggle. So they have to understand that, yeah, we have to look after the people, but you have to be able to hear the voice of the Most High, and you have to be obedient to that voice. Anything else, if you're going after, like, if you like Saul, who, you know, he blames it on the people, but I believe it was in his heart. And he's like, the people made me do it. They made me keep these sheep. I told you to kill everything. Well, they, you know, they wanted to keep the best to sacrifice to you. I don't want none of those sheep. So you can't follow after the people, okay? And can't use the people as an excuse. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to get verse 11 and 12.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister.
Amen.
Thank you. Everybody
Amen.
There?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so we got to understand that the Most High has assigned positions that are delegated authority in the body. And when people are appointed to these positions by the Most High, we are supposed to be in submission to those authorities. A lot of the times, you know, what I find is people want to get cliquish. Well, we got our little group here and we're running together. And, you know, support groups aren't bad until they become too cliquish. You know, where one don't show up, none of them don't show up. Where one don't agree, none of them agree because, they, you know, they got their own little thing going on. We really want to stay away from that, if at all possible. Because when the Most High puts a person in a position of authority, it's for the perfecting of the body. There's something within them that he feels that they will be able to serve to do this particular job, and he will gift them to do it. And we are supposed to be in our place in submission to these authorities because they're delegated. No one person is an island unto themselves, and you will never find me trying to do everything. I do what I have to do, but if the Most High sends help, trust me, I will accept the help because I know You can't do everything. If you're trying to do everything, something's going to go undone. Something's not going to get the attention that it needs. So we got to understand. And then from the position of the body, of a member in the body, we have to understand that if the people are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and the Most High is leading them, and they are in themselves in submission to the authorities that are over them, then everything will function in order. It just will. So, you know, everybody has to be doing their part. Everybody has to understand that even help, the gift of help, is a blessing. You know, yeah. If we're after titles, if we're, you know, after, well, you know, I feel like I should be this. It's not anything bad to desire to do a job. But you got to first show yourself that you are submitted in the body, that you're willing to help, that your heart is right. Because if you're just after position or title, then we know where that goes. Somebody about to get crushed somewhere because somebody's going to misbehave. Somebody's going to be in their feelings. Somebody's going to get puffed up. But the Most High gives us these positions, apostleships, prophets. And if you got a prophet, then you can have a prophetess. An evangelist, that's male or female position. Pastors, teachers. Now, the teaching portion of this, there is a position for women to teach, but they can teach other women. Can't teach men. And a lot of women have a problem with that. But the truth of the matter is, it's not supposed to be. So we want to keep everything decent and in order. All of these positions, verse 12 again, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're all, you know, everybody has to understand it's supposed to be a team. And so whoever the Most High puts in these positions, they have to be team players. You know, and there's certain things that are discussed. This is what's going on in the body. This is what we need. This is how we're going to address those needs. Okay, you're assigned to be over this portion. And you're assigned to be over this portion. And what you're doing is supposed to work together. Can't be of two different minds. And they really have to be on the same mind as the chief priest or the pastor to try to move the body ahead and forward in what the Most High wants the body to be doing. You know, so we don't ever want to be divided. And if I, you know, if I come to you and say, you know, the Most High has put you on my heart for a certain position, but I want you to, you know, seriously to consider it. And don't just accept it because you want a position, but you want to accept it because of what you can contribute to the position, how you can fulfill the position. To what end? The perfecting of the saints. To the edifying of the body. To the end of the work of the ministry. So we don't want just a position just for the sake of having a position. But we want, you know, if it's offered to us, then I really want whomever you are to consider it and what it takes to do that particular job. And, you know, you don't have to be the strongest in anything as long as you're listening to the Most High, as long as you are able to pray and ask the Most High's will for you in the position.
Man.
So that you can do and be equipped to edify the body. Okay, so, you know, we don't want to just be, I don't do this just to be doing it, trust me. And, you know, I take seriously what the Most High has assigned to me. And I don't want, you know, I can't get anybody into the kingdom, but it's not my desire to see none of us, you know, not one of us not make it in. If you are lacking in some place, you're struggling in something, then we want to make sure that we assign somebody to you that can help you with that, that can build you up and help you and not tear you down. Because it's all about the edifying of the saints. It's all about for the edification of the body. So the ministers, the deacons, the teachers, the apostles, they're all different roles, but each person, if the Most High calls you to a position, then you should be willing to do it with your whole heart and take it seriously. And if, you know, if you're struggling, then you need to understand that you're able to come to me. Because the Most High is going to equip me to handle whatever's going to come up and to help you and to motivate you and to guide you in the way you ought to go. And, yeah, we can make mistakes. They happen. But we have to be able to learn from those mistakes, and they shouldn't be anything so grievous that somebody can't forgive if they got, you know, if they got offended or insulted. But we have to be humble enough to know that, hey, we don't know everything and we're able to make mistakes as well. But we should be doing it with our whole heart, because this ministry, any ministry that you get called into, is unto Yah. And if you do it from that position, that it's unto Yah and not unto the person, not unto the man, then you'll do it with a different zeal. You'll do it with a different motivation. You'll do it with a different dedication, because you understand that it's unto Yah. Go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, I pray that we are all at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We're going to get verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in Yah, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So, you know, the scriptures are telling us that, that we, number one, we're to be at peace with one another, but number two, we are to know them which labor among us, and that we are supposed to allow them to admonish us and to correct us or to exhort us. If we can't take correction, then we truly are in trouble. If we are doing something wrong and somebody comes and they try to admonish you in that thing, and you can't hear it, maybe because of who it is. Maybe you can't hear it because you just don't want to hear it. But the truth of the matter is, we are to admonish one another in love. This is for our work perfecting. We all got some little bitty kinks and some quirks that need to be worked out. It may not even be about sin. It may be about just, you know, a certain attitude or a certain way that you may look at things. Because a lot of the times it's the way we look at things and filter them that determine how we act. And so first be in submission. And in submission, if a brother or a sister who's in a position of authority come and approach you about a certain thing, you know, I noticed this, you know, as long as they're doing it in love and it's not to your hurt, because trust me, if they say something, and, you know, surely things are going to come back to me, or hopefully we will have had this discussion before they ever even do it. And I would say, okay, yeah, I'm going to allow you to approach them on that. And we want to do this in love because we want to be building each other up. So we got to be able to accept that. So let's read that again. And we beseech you, brethren, that to know them which labor among you and are over you in Yah. That means if they're over you, that means that you're supposed to be in submission to them. And when I'm talking about being in submission to them, I'm not talking about this crazy stuff, you know, because people do get crazy. And I know, I've seen some people get crazy. It has to be in holiness. It has to be on the up and up. I won't tolerate at all any person trying to use their position for gain or use their position to lord it over somebody or use their position to try to pressure somebody into doing something or to take advantage of someone. Because I've seen those things. And I wouldn't tolerate it out of those when I saw them. I don't care who they were. What you're doing is wrong. And you shouldn't be in that position. Or you should be chastised. Because your head has gotten big. You have allowed this thing to go to your heart. And I mean to your head, not to your heart, but to your head. And you are abusing people or can be perceived that you're abusing people. So no, it has to be in love. It has to be something that really, if they see something like that, I would prefer they come and talk to me and we talk it out. And I would, you know, depends upon what it is, I might say, hey, no, slow your roll. Let's look at it a little bit longer and see, you know, what we can see. And let's take it to Yah as to how we deal with it. Because it should be, you know, discipline. Can anybody tell me the difference between discipline and punishment? Because some people think discipline and punishment are the same thing. Anybody can tell me what the difference is?
The difference is when you're being disciplined, you're being corrected. And when you're being punished, you're being... I don't want to say whoops or anything, but you either denied something. How would I say punishment?
Yeah, punishment is just that. It's punishment. It's not meant to correct you. It's meant as a penalty. Because you wouldn't take discipline. You wouldn't hear discipline. When things were given to you to correct the behavior, you didn't take to the discipline. You didn't adhere to it. You didn't follow it. Punishment is meant to actually install a penalty on you. And it may not be to correct. And usually punishment is not to correct, but to enforce a penalty. Discipline is supposed to be designed to correct you, as you said. I need to do something to correct your behavior. I need to have you to do something to correct your behavior. And a lot of times, what that may be depends upon the person, because everybody is motivated by different things. You know, if we have children, any of us that have children know that our children, you couldn't motivate them all the same way. Couldn't discipline them all the same way. What affected one one way had no effect on the other one, the same way, or had a different effect. So discipline is designed to correct you and help you to correct the behavior that is to be addressed. And that can be different for different people. As I said, different people are motivated differently. And usually if I'm disciplining, I'm going to the Most High and saying, what is the best way to deal with this particular person in this instance? How do I get them to see and to change this particular behavior? That's discipline. And then punishment is really a penalty. There's negative consequences for the action. So there's a difference there. And again, there's some standard penalties for some things, and then sometimes there have to be some penalties that are customized for the individual. Because I said, some things don't have an effect on certain people, some things do. People react to different things in different ways. And we by no means trying to treat anyone like a child. But there is such thing as discipline and punishment, admonishment. And we have to be able to submit to it. Because if we are doing something that is that we need help in, it's a negative behavior, but we may not see it as negative. Maybe we grew up like that. Maybe it's all we know. And so being able to teach someone and to show them another way to help them to grow. That's all part of ministry. And a lot of people today don't want anybody per se in their business like that. We'll push so far. You don't want to be helped, then you don't want to be helped. But, if you're not in submission, then you shouldn't be expecting that when a certain position comes up and you're not able to be disciplined yourself, why should you even be considered? So it's those types of things, and it's serious. It's a serious thing because we really want to be doing the work of the Most High. We really want to be where He wants us at and to be doing what He has gifted us for. And a lot of times, it's just like on the job. If you are weak in an area and you need training in that area because you're weak in it, then we should be trainable. We should be meek enough that we're able to be trained, that we can listen to be trained as to how to do this particular thing or to help us in that area. But if we are puffed up or we are stiff-necked or can't nobody tell us nothing, then that would be a very big problem. So we want to be humble. And we want to be able to submit when we're supposed to be in submission, and we want to be able to take authority when we're given authority, but not, in such a way that we're able to complete what it is that we've been given to do. Okay. All right. Let's continue. So we've talked about bishops and deacons. We talked about pastors and apostles and teachers and prophets and prophets and evangelists. These people are given to the body for the perfecting of the saints. And when, the Most High says that He is choosing you for such a position, is something that we ought to take seriously because we are supposed to be ministering one to another one to another. The body's supposed to heal itself in love. And if we got some, you know, some attitude, some hatred, some issues against the saints, then we need to bring those things to the table and deal with them. It should not remain hidden because they will be a cancer to the body. So if I offended you in some type of way and you still got a chip on your shoulder behind it, we need to bring that, we need to come together, man to man or man to woman, whatever it is, and hash the thing out. And if we need a mediator, then we should have people in the body that are able to serve in that function to help us to hash this thing out so that we can truly love one another, that we can let those things go. Because if not, if you are a person that is vindictive, if you are a person that holds on to ill feelings, if you can't forgive, then ministry is not for you. Because the body needs to be able to, each person, you know, it's just like you saying, oh, this cell in my arm hates this cell in my finger. And so the cells in my arm are battling with the cells in my finger. Same body. We gotta truly get this understanding in us. One body. We are many members in the same body. And, you know, so maybe we got ugly toes. And if our toes are ugly, maybe we need to do something to help them look better, to help them be better. And if we have a person that's a toe in the body and they are struggling, then we need to help them, not hurt them, not cut them off. But everybody's got to be of the same mind. We are all working toward what? Perfection. We are all working toward being built up in Christ until we come to the unity of the faith. Until we come to the unity of the faith. So that takes, you know, it takes some trust. It takes some opening ourselves to people. It takes some exposing our feelings. And understand that, you know, if we are being meek like the Most High has said, and if we are being looking out for each other's welfare, if you expose yourself, your heart, your feelings, then they should never be trampled over. And if they are, then we have to deal with that and help to heal. Because we're all, you know, we're all human beings, and we don't all have the same definitions for the same words. We don't all, you know, just take the word love. I could ask each person on here their definition of love, and I guarantee you I'm going to get a different definition for everyone. And so we got to understand that we don't all see things exactly the same way. And we might offend somebody and not even know it. But that person should be able to come to us and say, you know, what you said offended me. But they should be able to say how it offended them. Because how can you change something? You say, well, you offended me. Well, what did I say? How did I offend you? Well, you just did. I didn't like what you said, but what I said was simply this. But why did you take it that way? It may be something from their childhood. It may be something that they've gone through. It may have just been a bad day. But we need to be able to talk about those things in such a way that, you know, we're not trying to come to fisticuffs over them, but that we are truly trying to be built up, and we're reconciled, and we are doing it in love. Understanding that we truly are one. And it even comes with saints from other parts of the body. If they can see the love in you, and they can see the dedication in you, they can see that this is what you're about, trust me, they will want to deal. But, you know, if we're nasty and we're ugly, or we're saying that we're the saints of the Most High, and they come and they're still getting drunk and smoking and getting high, trust me. I know if it was me, I'd be like, nah, I ain't doing that. Something wrong. So we have to project what the Most High wants us to project. We have to be willing to serve with love. That means that you have to pick up your cross and you have to bear it. Sometimes that means that, hey, maybe I might have to give up something that I didn't want to give up. I didn't feel it was sin, but because of how it's going to make the Most High look, I might have to give that thing up. Because I don't want to cause anybody else to stumble. So the people who are assigned these positions are expected to yield to the authority of their bishop, the minister, the chief priest, the elder, the presbytery, the overseer, whatever title you want to put on that. These terms are nearly synonymous in the New Testament. So they have to be in submission to their head. And you have to know that the pastor is in submission to who? Mashiach. We should all be in submission to Mashiach through the Ruach. But then as the Most High builds this thing up, whatever position you are put into, the people who are signed up under you, they have to understand that they are to be in submission to you in your position for what your authority calls for. In the body, we choose to call the person who occupies the office of bishop or chief overseer the chief priest. That's what is going to be called in Yah's global kingdom, the chief priest, the office of the chief priest. The authority given to the chief priest in Scripture is forceful and in all matters relevant to the spiritual life of the body, to its mission and growth, its discipline and order. His rule, when properly exercised in the Scripture, should be obeyed. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And let's get verse 7. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Everybody there?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to make sure we're all together. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follows, considering the end of their conversation. You should be, when you're listening to me, you should be listening to what I'm saying. You should also be listening to what I'm not saying. You should be looking at my mannerisms, too.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
If I'm all about, every time you see me, my eyes is ogling the women, you got to know something wrong. Because you got to be considering the end of my conversation. Is my heart to help you get into the kingdom? Is my heart to line my pocket? Is my heart to try to take advantage of all the lonely women? You should take those things into account. I'm telling you. So let's read this verse again. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follows, considering the end of their conversation. My job is to help you to get into the kingdom. My job is to guide and help you to walk in the ways of the Most High. My job is to edify and to lift up. to encourage, to motivate, but to teach you truth. And if I'm not doing those things, if when you see me, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to never see a cigarette in my mouth. You ain't going to never see alcohol in my mouth. Except for if I was going to do wine for communion or Passover, you know, and for me, I use grape juice. But if I was going to do wine, that would probably be the only time you would ever see me do it. Because if I'm not, I can't be asking you to live holy, and then you see me living otherwise. What kind of example is that? Then you're gonna want to do what you see me do. And how am I going to say, no, you can't do it? You shouldn't be doing it, but I'm doing it.
Yep.
But I already know, you're not going to hear people teach about things that they're doing. If I was about getting drunk, then I wouldn't be teaching you not to be drinking no alcohol. I'm going to tell you to do something I'm not doing. You see that? He's telling us on drink, and he over there drunk as a skunk. That can't be. So we got to understand that if you're in leadership, if you've been given a position, you have to be an example. Be the one cause people to stumble and say, because, you know, that's just the truth. And, you know, people look for a reason. They look for cracks. They do. Just be honest. And not saying you're trying to be holier than thou or anything like that. But you are trying to be holy. And that should never be a negative. And I've seen people try to use it as a negative because they didn't want to come out of what they were in. They didn't want to perfect themselves. And so we really need to understand that if you occupy that any of these positions, you have to be an example. Let's continue. Go to drop down to verse 17. Same chapter, verse 17. Now we've read this before, but this is the authority in the body given to the different offices. So if anybody's given an office, then you are supposed to submit yourself to them in that office. If they get assigned to a committee, and that committee is to look into a certain thing, and you're asked to participate, then you're coming in submission to them, ready to do whatever it is that they need for you to do. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. When the Most High, when people are doing this thing with the way they're supposed to be doing it, and the Most High is involved with it, he's looking at everything. He's looking at the pastors. He's looking at the teachers. He's looking at the evangelists. He's looking at the saints. Are they of one mind? Are they obeying? Are they in submission? Because those that are put over you are going to be required to report. And so, you know, this is a teaching that Israel really needs to hear. Why? Because Israel tried to get around that by saying that ain't nobody going to be with you at the throne of judgment. But that's not really true. Because you just read, those that have ruler over you, they are required to do what? They must give what? An account. And here you were thinking you were going to be at the throne all by yourself. How was Brother Miles? But that brother wouldn't listen to nothing. He'd come, and then he'd be admonished. He'd say he'd repent. And the next week, he'd back at it again. You know, he'd always show up, and he always do stuff, but he just couldn't stop this stuff right here. The person's going to have to give an account. He says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For it is unprofitable for you. So you're not going to be at the throne by yourself. Whoever the Most High put over you as your shepherd, they also have to give an account. How does that make us feel? Do we believe that? Or do we struggle with it? Because, you know,
nah, brother, I believe it.
Amen, my sister. Amen. You know, that's why, you know, all the young brothers out there, all the men who say that they got a flock, you know, I really do pray for them that they are doing the right thing. Because, you know, the flock is going to follow the pastor. If the pastor going to the lake, what do you think is going to happen to the flock?
They're going to go follow him.
I'll go all over the cliff with him. Got to understand that. So, you know, we have to be accountable. We have to take this job seriously for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body, so that we get into the kingdom and that we can do it with joy. Go to Acts. I think we already did this. Let's move on. I think we already did this one. Yeah. Let's go to the book of Acts and let's get verse 26. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 26. I don't think we got that. The book of Acts, chapter 20. In verse 26, and when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Wherefore I take to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That's the position that the pastor has to be in. That's the position that every person in authority has to be in, that you don't do something to cause somebody to walk away from the word of the Most High, that you don't trip them up and try to make them fall, that you don't have their blood on your hands. So we want to be pure from the blood of all men. We want to give people the truth. We want to convict them, because we want to give them the truth and convict them so that they will make a change. We don't want people coming in and pretending and going through the motions because they're not taking this thing serious. We don't want that. So we want them to have the truth. We want them to have the correct expectation so that their blood is not on our hands. If they choose to walk away after you have given them the truth and you have treated them with love, you have done all that you could do. You know, we're not going to lasso somebody and hogtie them and say, oh, you got to stay. No. They got to know that it's home. They got to know where they belong. But they also got to know that they aren't leaving really because of how they were treated. And a lot of people leave the church hurt. And I've seen a lot of people that are, quote, unquote, church hurt. Because the people were hateful. They had really no love in them. And if you were new to the congregation, you were an outsider, there was no genuine love for you. We don't want that. We want to understand that everybody is walking and trying to make it into the kingdom. And we want them to, hold on just a second.
Well done, Miss. Hold on.
Didn't mean to answer that. I don't even know who that is. Okay. We want everybody to get in, but we want them to get in the spirit of truth and meekness. So yeah, you know, I am, my walk in this thing, I have seen many things from many different positions. And I know how people get. You know, and I know that we have to keep an eye on each other. It's just the way it is. But we want to be, you know, we want to have genuine love one for another. And we want anybody coming in to understand that we have genuine love. We truly care about, if the Most High has called them to the kingdom, we want them to get in and we want them to know that they are a member and what they need to do. And that we're going to hold them accountable, just like we want them to hold us accountable. So let's continue. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5, and verse 3. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, everybody else there?
Amen.
All right, thank you. And we're actually going to start at verse 1 and read down through verse 3. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Who am I? Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ? And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of Elohim which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. So if I ask you to be a deacon and you accept a position, then you should be accepting the position not because I'm making you take it. You shouldn't be taking it for that reason. You should be taking it because you're willing to do the job. You're willing to make the sacrifice. You're willing to put now the flock before yourself. Because it calls you into service. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over Elohim's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Got to lead by example. Now, you have the right to admonish. You have the right to exhort, to encourage. You have the right to correct. But it should be not to so that you're lording over the people. I'm just going to be, you know, I'm this dictator. And what I say, go. No. Can't be that way. Proverbs chapter 11. The book of Proverbs chapter 11. Now, I think we did these last week. But I know that verse ain't there. Yep. Let's drop down to, because we're just supposed to read over these. So, yeah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 9. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, that you might set forth the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So the whole body has to recognize that, number one, we are a chosen race. The Hebrew Israelite race was chosen by the Most High. We were chosen to be kings and priests. We got to know and understand that and believe that. It's just like when we say that we are a child of the Most High. We have to esteem that, and it has to be very special in our eyes so that we understand who we are. So I'm a child of the Most High. I am a priest. I'm holy. We have to embrace those things. This is what he chose us for. Nah, I'd rather be a lawyer in the world. Nah, I'd rather be an actor or a singer. Nah, I'd rather be whatever. Everything but what he called us for. Everything but what he chose us for. So does everybody listening understand that you were chosen for the priesthood? I don't care what you're doing right now. What were you chosen for? Don't be shy.
Priesthood.
Thank you. Maybe the rest of y'all weren't. I don't know. You got to know that this is what the Most High is for. And we've always wanted to do something else.
Mm.
Believe what is written. Now, let me go back to the KJV and read that. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Different. I was reading from the, what was that? The Derby Bible. So it reads, you are a chosen race. But the KJV says you are a chosen generation. Now, either way it goes, can somebody get, I'm going to let somebody else read this for me. Hold on just a second. Let me get the verse. And this, and trust me when I say this, this is not about race, but it is about race because you got to understand who you are and that the Most High chose you. This is what was taken from you, from us. Let's see, what am I looking for here? Can we go to Hebrews chapter 8? Hebrews chapter 8. And we're going to get verse 8. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 8. And Sister Mary, I want you to read that for me. Sister Mary?
Okay, I was on mute.
And amen.
For finding fault with them.
You'll read that for us.
Okay, Hebrews 8 and verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day comes, the day cometh, says Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Who is he making a new covenant with?
The house of Israel and the house of Judah.
Did Brother Miles write that?
No.
No.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. So the Most High has never cut off his people completely. And the new covenant comes through his people. The Gentiles have to come in. They can come into the kingdom, but the covenant and everything else, the promises, are made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So I chose you. I gave you the first covenant. You broke the first covenant. Now, let's go. To the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And when you have it, if you say amen. When you get it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sister Rachel, I want you to read verses 31 and 32 for me.
Amen. Jeremiah 31 and 32.
Yeah, Jeremiah 31, 31 and 32.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 and 32. Behold,
yes.
the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Stop.
Not according to...
Stop right there. Did we just read that before? Who is the covenant with?
House of Israel and house of Judah.
House of Israel and the house of Judah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 32,
verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord.
Okay, so we're going to stop right there. It didn't change. We went to where he made the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31 and 31. I'm going to make this covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. When we went to Hebrews chapter 8 and 8, the Most High didn't change his mind. He said his new covenant would be with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, whom you are. We don't want to break this covenant. Yah has awakened us as to who we are as the people. He says, now you broke the first covenant. Your forefathers broke the first covenant. Didn't keep it. Didn't obey my voice. Didn't value it. Now I'm making the new covenant with you through Mashiach. And I need for you to obey my voice. I need for you to esteem and pick up the job that I called you for. A nation of priests. A holy nation. We have to esteem that. We have to value that. We have to understand that that is our purpose in life. But I wanted to be a nurse. Well, you can be a nurse and still do the ministry of the Most High. But I want us to understand, these are not Brother Miles' words. You read it directly from the scripture for yourself. Now, the Gentiles get to come in, and they get to get salvation. But the Most High has said that we are the apple of his eye. So we cannot be stupid. We cannot be sottish. We cannot be hard-hearted. But we must obey. And you know.
Amen.
Do we believe what we're reading?
Yes, I do, with all my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Because sometimes these things can offend people. Why the Most High got a favorite? Because he chose you. He said, and if you obeyed my voice, I would make you the head and not the tail. But if you disobey my voice, I'm going to make you the tail and not the head. He's given our people a new chance through Mashiach. To be faithful. To be and do the job that he has called us for. Let's go back to where we were at. Let's go back to Hebrews. I think we're in 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. And verse 9. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9. And when you have it, if
amen.
You say,
amen.
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 All right. Thank you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you think it's about time we start acting like it?
Amen.
A holy nation. Do you think it's about time we start acting like it?
Yeah.
Amen.
We start believing what the Most High has said?
Amen.
Yeah.
A peculiar people. This word peculiar don't mean like queer or weird. This word peculiar means so precious. You are so precious to me. It's like you are my crown jewels. I would take you, lock you up in a safe, put a guard on you, put an alarm system on you, and put a couple of angels around you. That's what peculiar means. Very valuable to the Most High. Very precious to Him. You got to know that. You got to act like that. You got not only to act like that, you got to be that. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's why you should be, it should be none of us that don't have a praise for the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what He's giving you?
Mm.
Do you see what He's making you? First He made you His child.
Amen.
And then I said, as my child, you are a royal priesthood. You're royalty. I'm a priest. And I'm royalty. As my child, you are a royal priest. Royal and priesthood didn't used to go together. You were either royalty of the tribe of Judah, or you were priestly of the tribe of Levi. What did He do? He says, hey, what I'm giving you wasn't named at the altar. This is a new thing. I'm making you a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We got to walk in these things. The body has to know that that's who it is. We have to conduct ourselves in that way. We have to pick up this mantle and carry it and wear it and be it. Because what the Most High is doing for us. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of Elohim. Our forefathers, the Most High chose them, and they always rejected Him. And He says, you're not my people. Do you want the Most High to say that about us?
Mm-hmm. No.
But are now the people of Elohim. That what the covenant was about, right? I shall be your Elohim and you shall be what? My people. That's the covenant. The Most High gave us something so precious and so great. How can we not value it? This is what the body has to understand. This is why we can't be walking all crazy and stupid. It's why we can't be doing just any and everything. You've got to know who you are and who you represent. You've got to know that. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now has obtained mercy. He said, I would have mercy on Israel. If the Most High has mercy on you, are you just going to take that for granted? Is it not going to be special to you to know that he's not going to impute your sins against you? But you got to pick up the mantle. You got to be willing to be that priesthood, that holy nation. This is really what it's about. So I'm going to tell you, consider this, because this is what the body of Messiah, especially those of the Hebrew Israelite, that understand who they are as a people. You got to pick this thing up. You want the word of Elohim to come true in your life concerning his promises? You got to become his people. His people obey his voice. If you don't obey his voice, you ain't his people. That's what he's been telling us throughout the whole book. I kept scattering y'all. I kept getting rid of y'all. I kept killing y'all off when y'all were disobedient. But I made a new covenant with you now. Are we going to make the same mistake as our forefathers? So the congregation, the authority of the people, over the nations. Got to understand that we have to walk in that. Our authority comes from the Most High Elohim. You have to believe that. Just keep moving, because y'all done got quiet on me.
Now we still here.
I know y'all here. I see y'all. But y'all done got quiet. Amen. Know who the promise is to. Know who the new covenant is to. Know who you are. Pick it up and walk in it. The body has to. So as the pastor of the body, I got to know that about myself. I got to esteem that. I got to value that. I need to transmit that to you so that you esteem it and value it too. And that we esteem that and pass it in the body. And we hold each other accountable. No, 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 no. Can't be doing that, my sister. Can't be doing that, my brother. This is because of
Amen.
Who you are. Have to be able to be admonished. That's not how a child of the Most High walks. That's not how a child of the Most High talks. That's not how a king behaves. That's not how a priest behaves. Think about what the Most High is elevating us to. Grab hold of it and don't let it go. Don't let nobody sway you any other direction. And we have to behave holy. And this is who he said we are. You are holy. You got to grab hold of that and hold on to it. As a body. So understand when I say this, I take this very seriously. I know what the Most High has elevated me to. I know what he has promised and what he is giving. I'm not going to let nothing or no one tear me away from
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I will hold my and each and every one of us accountable to it.
Thank you. I want to be held accountable because I want to be better.
Amen. Amen. And trust me, I will.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Amen. So the body has to understand this. We have to understand what our heritage is. As the body, which means that if we are a royal priesthood, then I've shown us before that the Most High divided the nations according to the number of who? Did we forget?
Oh, okay, say that again. I didn't hear you.
The Most High divided the nations according to the number of who? He set them in their borders and divided them up according to the number of who?
Of the family?
Of the family? No.
Yeah.
Got to be a little bit more specific than that.
Of the tribe?
There you go. According to the number of the children of Israel.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Let me let you read that for yourself because I don't want you saying Brother Miles said it. Let me get that verse. That's why I said you got to value. You got to know who you are. You got to value it. You got to hold on to it. You got to know what the Most High is doing so that you don't just take this casually, so that you don't allow yourself to just do anything and everything and say, well, you know, he's going to have mercy on me. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Because the body is going to need to understand this. We have to understand it. We have to walk in it. We have to transmit this to the rest of the body. Truth is just truth, okay? And I'm not going to hide truth. We need to pick it up and walk in it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
And Sister Denise, I want you to read verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8.
When the Most High divided to the nation their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
We're the priests of the world. Every nation's got to have their representation of the priesthood. The Most High said, I divided the nations to their borders and the number of people that were going to be in them according to the number of the children of Israel, my priesthood. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
You see how special you are?
Amen.
So we can't take this thing as something common. We can't take our salvation as something that, oh, everybody gets it. Because everybody don't get it. Everybody's not called to what you're called to. And we need to esteem and value it. Let's go to the book of Romans. What time we got? We're going to run a couple of minutes over because I want to do this. Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
Amen.
We'll start in verse 1, and I'll do the reading. But I want you to listen about yourself. I want you to listen what Elohim's, what his heart is for you. I want you to listen to what happened, and I just want you to accept it. I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture saith of Isaiah or Elias, how he has made his intercession to Elohim against Israel? Isaiah made make intercession to Elohim for Israel or against Israel?
For Israel.
See, y'all ain't reading.
Against Israel.
Against Israel. I just want you to, I'm telling you, we need to read this here.
Let me read that again.
And accept it.
God has not cast away his
intercession to Elohim against Israel, okay?
Against Israel.
Because we were jacked up.
Israel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Saying, yeah, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, this is what Elias said to the Most High. This got him fired, okay? But he made this accusation against Israel. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. The Most High knows how many he's calling out of Israel. He said, back then I had 7,000. At that time that Elias made this accusation, thought he was alone, Most High said, I got 7,000 in reserve. And now he's saying, at this present time, there is also a remnant according to the election. Let's continue. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What he's saying here is, you are saved by grace, not by your works. I don't care how perfect you kept the law. If you didn't come through Messiah, your works aren't going to do you any good. Because then you could boast and say, what? I did it by myself. I didn't need Messiah. So he says, it is by grace, and it is no more of works. He's not telling you that you don't keep the law, and you don't use the law to justify yourself. Because the law was not given to you to save you. The law was given to you to show you that you were a what? Sinner.
Sinner.
You were a transgressor. Okay? What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for. Hear this now. Israel has not obtained what which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it. And who was blinded?
The rest were blinded.
The rest of Israel. Do you see that it's not by chance that you have been awakened? Do you see that it's not by chance that the Most High has opened your eyes? Do you see it's not by chance that the Most High is showing you the truth in the Word? It's not by accident.
Amen.
According as it is written, Elohim has given them the spirit of slumber, even that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Most of our brothers and sisters cannot hear or see what I'm telling you. Trust me, I go out there and cry on them. And David said, let their Israel's, now because this gets into a lot of them and theys and theirs, I'm going to tell you who the them and the they and the there are in it, because people tend to get caught, seem to get lost in this. But I'm going to keep us straight. And David said, let their Israel table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense, a repayment unto them for their disobedience. So David pronounced this curse on Israel. Let their table be made a what? Snare. A trap.
Yeah. A trap.
And a stumbling block. And a repayment unto them. Why? Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Bow down your back means that you are in some type of captivity, some type of submissive position to the world. I say then, have they, Israel, stumbled that they should fall? That's a question. Elohim forbid. But rather that through their fall, through Israel's fall, salvation has come unto who?
Yeah. The Gentiles.
This is how they get in.
What? Provoke them to justice.
To provoke them who?
To jealousy.
Who
Israel.
Is that supposed to be provoked?
Israel.
Right. So, but through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Only you have I loved, and you went a-whoring after other gods. So, Yoaki, I'm teaching. I'll give you a call back. All right, shalom. So the Gentiles are allowed in to provoke us to jealousy, because we provoke the Most High to jealousy. I want us to hear this. Now, if the fall of Israel be the riches of the world, the world became blessed because Israel's fall. The riches that were supposed to belong to Israel, the Most High let the world keep it. Hear what's being said here. And the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles. How much more Israel's fullness? So the Most High says, when we are where we're supposed to be, the world's going to be even more blessed. See why we got to come up and out? See, he's always intended for us to be the head and not the what?
Tail.
So I blinded Israel and put them to sleep so that I could give and offer salvation to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. And if the fall of Israel made the world rich and the Gentiles rich, how much more when we are in our place? Because, see, we're supposed to be the Most High. Even though the world is the way it is, the world is not as blessed as it's supposed to be. Because the priesthood of the Most High is not where it's supposed to be. Let's continue. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, you know, I'm blowing my office saying that, okay? If by any means I may provoke to emulation Israel, which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. Because our forefathers were in a bad place. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of Israel be? But life from the dead? There is a work that has to be done by us. The Most High cast us off because of our disobedience. But he said, I've always and will always keep a what? Remnant. And that remnant is supposed to fulfill all these things, to bring life back to the dead. The world. The walking dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Messiah, the Most High, is our root. The branches were supposed to also be holy. But guess what happened to the branches? Let's read this. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, if some of the branches be broken off, talking about Israel, and thou, Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them Israel, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So the Most High started grafting in the Gentiles into the place of the branches that he broke off of Israel. Let's continue. Boast not or brag not against the branches, Gentiles, because the Gentiles will say, oh, we're replacing Israel. The church will say, we're replacing Israel. But the church is not replacing Israel. So he tells them, don't brag and don't boast. Hear what he's saying. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, and the root not thee. If thou, Gentile, boast. Gentile, you bearest not the root, but the root you. Thou will say then, Gentiles, the Gentiles will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but what? Who's reading with me?
High-minded, but fear.
But fear. But fear.
But fear. They shouldn't be taking this salvation as lightly as they are. They shouldn't be looking at us and treating us like we are some type of animal and saying that they're better and being puffed up. But they ought to fear. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, take heed, he also spare not you, Gentiles.
Amen, amen.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of Elohim. The goodness and the severity of Elohim. He's going to tell us what that is. On them, Israel, which fell, severity. Do you think it's a severe thing for the Most High to cut you off?
Amen.
Okay, amen. But toward you, Gentiles, goodness. If you continue in his, Yah's goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be what?
Cut off.
So when the churches start bragging about we're the people of the book and Yah don't love you and you know you're an animal, you're three-fifths a person, we can treat you like we want to treat you, we're going to hold you in perpetual slavery, they were really damning themselves. Okay? And they also, they Israel, also if they abide not still in what?
Unbelief.
You didn't believe what the Most High said. You didn't obey his voice. You didn't believe he was serious. So if they, Israel, also, if they, Israel, abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Wait a minute, because you were what? Broken off, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So you got to be grafted back in. For Elohim is able to graft Israel in again.
Amen. Thank you, Yah.
For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild, Gentiles, by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, Israel, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?
How are we
supposed to take to this like naturally? We were chosen to be his priesthood.
So all this mystery.
Praise God.
Are we going to walk in unbelief? Are we going to walk in disobedience?
No.
Because if you do, you won't be drafted back in again.
Amen. Amen.
So you got to understand who you are. You got to understand what it means. You got to understand how valuable it is. You got to understand that right now it looks like certain people are on top. But you just got to stand up and get into your place.
Amen.
That's what you have to do. That's what I have to do. What we have to do. You got to recognize and know what this means. It ain't nothing to say I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Don't get caught up in that foolishness.
Amen.
But the only thing that means is you got a whole lot of apologizing to do.
And a lot of work.
It's
a lot of work. So understand what Elohim has always intended for you. Understand why you can't get up and why the nations won't let you get up because they know who you are. But you got to know who you are now.
Amen.
And you got to walk in it. You got to hold, grab hold to it and not let it go. And you can't play with it.
Amen, bro.
The Most says, I'm able to graft you back in, what, again? And put you in your place. Even all Israel is not going to hear this. Only the remnant will hear. Only the remnant will be able to accept this. You got to make up your mind. Who are you? because your actions should show who you are. Can't be just lip service. I'm a Hebrew Israelite, but I'm still out here just sinning and doing all this thing. I ain't obeying the voice of the Most High. I'm not even up in His Word. Taking a title that you have not earned and has not been given back to you. Because you got to be what? Grafted back in again. Now, these are not the words of Brother Miles. We're reading the word of the Most High. I want us to understand, because everybody that is in the body, in the ministry, got to understand this. We got to get off of foolishness and stupidness. We have to hear the voice of the Most High, and we have to obey. Or else you're not getting back in. At least not as a Hebrew. Let's continue. So verse 24 again. For if thou, Gentiles, were cut out of a wild, out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, Israel, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Somebody needs to tell you this, because you're not supposed to be ignorant of this mystery. Least you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. For how long? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The Most High has set a number on the number of Gentiles that He's allowing to come in. And when they reach that number, the scales will fall off the rest of Israel's eyes, but for a lot of them, it will be too late. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, unto Israel. Everybody understand what we just read?
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
When I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies of the gospel for your sakes, Gentiles. A lot of our people can't hear the gospel. A lot of our people can't be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Why? So that the Gentiles can enter in. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. They, Israel, are beloved for the Father's sake. Only you have I loved. The world don't want to hear that. And apparently Israel don't want to hear it either.
Come on.
For the gift and calling of Elohim are without repentance. For you in times past, you Gentiles in times past have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their, Israel's, unbelief. Even so, have these Israel also now not believed that through your Gentiles' mercy, they Israel also may obtain mercy. This gospel and His word was given to the Gentiles to hold until the Most High start waking up His remnant. And remember what we read in Kings, that pray that their enemies have compassion on them, on Israel. See, now, when I read this verse to most Hebrews, they have a fit. What do you mean we got to have mercy from the Gentiles? You got to humble yourself. The job that I tried to give to you, you wouldn't take it. And now you had to come back through them to get in, back into the kingdom. These are not Brother Miles' words. But you got to understand. For Elohim has concluded Israel all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of Yah? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him? First given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Who has first given to the Most High that the Most High got to repay him? Nobody. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So
amen.
We got to understand that we have to humble ourselves. That we didn't even know who we were as a people. That the people of the world took our religion, took our Elohim, and made him theirs, and still didn't worship him the way he said to worship him. But he says, that's that wild woman, because I told you I was going to make you jealous. And I'm going to take this wild woman over here who says she loved me but don't keep my statutes, laws, and commandments. And I'm going to save some of them if they don't get puffed up. But you, Israel, you got to keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. You got to obey my voice. Why we got to do it and they don't? Because you are my first love. And if my first love can't obey my voice, what do I need her for? So understand why things are the way that they are. Why they teach the things that they teach. It is not by happenstance. You got to know who you are. You got to value it. You got to embrace it. You got to come back to the Most High the way that he wants you to. Don't even worry about the Gentiles. Because that's been our problem. We've always wanted to be like them. We want to worship their gods. We want to do how they do. Realize who you are and that you have been grafted back in again if you will obey the Most High's voice. Got to value it. Got to esteem it. Got to understand you were broken off. Got to understand that you can come back in. But you got to know who you are. And you got to know that it's what the Most High has promised you, because who was the new covenant to? Was it to the house of Israel? Yes or no? Come on. Come on now, y'all. We just read this. a new covenant shall I make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Of Judah. Am I on mute?
No, you oh. Fine, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Gotta know this. Got to know that the Most High didn't wake you up for no reason. You got to embrace why he woke you up.
Amen.
All right. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you this evening. We thank you for showing us that your body has structure. And in that structure, we are to submit ourselves one to another and to authority for our perfecting. And that we have to embrace who we are, a royal priesthood. A holy nation. And that we have to believe it and understand that the rest of our people who won't hear this, they are still asleep because it's your desire and your will that they be asleep.
Amen. Yes.
And that when the fullness of the Gentiles is come in, you will wake the rest up.
Thank you, God.
But we your remnant, Father. We your elect. Father, we just want to do your will.
Yes, yeah.
We want to be your people. We want to walk in your way.
Yes.
Father, we just want to embrace who we are in you. We value it and esteem it, Father.
Yes.
We're not caught up in that we are the Hebrew Israelites, but we're caught up in that we are your people and you are our Elohim.
Yes, God.
Father, you made a promise to yourself for your name, and you made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And your words shall not return unto you void. But, Father, we are striving to be your elect. We are striving to know you in spirit and in truth and to worship you in spirit and in truth.
Yes,
that the enemy may not fool us. Father, we desire you and only you. There is nothing that another nation in this world can do for us. You shall supply for us. You shall do for us. We are your elect. And when that unholy one comes on the scene, Satan, the Antichrist, Father, that we might not be deceived because our eyes and our dedication will be to you. No matter what it looks like, no matter how good it looks, it can't look better than you. And our focus will be on you, Father. Father, help it to be so. Help us to walk in your ways and in your light. And to obey your voice. Father, we will not break the new covenant. Father, do not impute our sins against us.
Yes, yeah.
Be with us.
Yes.
Father, I want to lift up Sister Dorothy before you on this evening. The sister is going into the hospital on Monday for open heart or bypass surgery. Yes. Father, we ask that you would be in the hands of the surgeon.
Yes,
we ask that you would keep her safe.
Yes.
And that you would deliver her through this surgery, that she might praise your holy name.
Yes.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen.
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 And may the most. Oh, I need to do the necessary. All right, I make a motion that this meeting be adjourned. All in favor, say aye.
I second.
Oh, yes. Let me have a second. I keep. All right. We'll have a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry is now officially over. We will have a reading of these passages next week, and we will vote on them as written. And may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, hopefully tomorrow night, tomorrow evening, may Yah bless you. I love you, but I cannot love you like Yah loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
All right, shalom. Peace. All right, amen and amen.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand.